Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. That's right, it's three this week because I'm joined by one of the superstars of MMA. The guys, he's won his last, I don't know, what's your record now?
14-1.
14-1, winner of the Ultimate Fighter, Elias Theodoro. Thank you for coming. I want to thank our sponsor. Guys, it's time to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this week at mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get in the action. March Madness is here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting with mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of the runaround? You ask for a payout? I know I am. Well, come join mybookie today. I'd only recommend a service that's been good to me and the listeners. I'm telling you, you win, they pay. Fast, without any hassles. So join today, mybookie, and you will match, and they'll match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. That's right. If you spend $100, you get an extra $50. So use the promo code MMA50 and activate the offer today. MMA50. Visit them or call 1-844-900-BETS. Play, win, and get paid. Also, I want to thank Blue Apron. Blue Apron is amazing. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. That's just go to blueapron.com/MMA roast. blueapron.com/MMA roast. So I'm here with Elias. I just happened to be in Calgary doing comedy, and you hit me up, and you're like, hey, I'm in town. What were you doing in town?
I'm a cage side commentary for Hard Knocks Championship. They had an event, HK54.
Right. So do you like to be doing a cage side commentary?
Yeah, I do. It's obviously a different role, but there's interesting aspects in the back end that you have to do with a live show. They're one of the few actual MMA events that do a live show and actually broadcast it both in Canada and the States and many other different outlets.
And this is pros?
Yep, pros and amateur. They actually mix them in between. The really cool thing is you get to see a lot of the diamonds in the rough grow from, you know, their debut as an amateur to eventually pro.
Do the amateurs wear shin guards or no?
No. It's essentially there's difference in regards to the amateur aspects. There's regular amateur and then there's advanced amateur, where advanced you can hit people in the head on the ground rather, because the other kind of amateurs are more or less like a sports jiu-jitsu, where it's like striking, standing up, and more submissions on the ground.
Right.
But it's really cool that Hard Knocks has taken a kind of made themselves a forefront in regards to amateur MMA, and you get to see these stars, and obviously they throw a little bit more caution to the wind, so it's a lot of knockouts in the amateurs.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, do you feel they need to be funny at all, or like entertaining, or just do you just call like you see it?
A little bit of column A, column B. I'm still me in many different ways. A couple of jokes here and there, but I think the kind of flavor that I add is understanding on being on the other side of the cage, obviously. I get to kind of talk about the body language that I see, the kind of aggressive dance that's kind of playing out in front of me, and I just give my two cents.
Nice. And by the way, we're actually watching on Fight Pass the Alan Jubon Gunnar Nelson fight, so if you actually hear us commentating on that,
yes,
that's what we're watching. It's Saturday afternoon in Calgary. The shows have been fun. I love Canadians.
Yep.
It was actually last night some 80-year-old came up to me after my show. I was asking who had tattoos and doing jokes about it. And she's like, just so you know, I have lips on my ass. And I was like, thank you for letting me know. Another guy came up to me and he's like, hey man, you want to smoke pot after the show? Which it's like kind of a catch-22 because I like smoking weed, but then you don't know who you're smoking with.
100%.
And then also the owner has to drive me to the condo, and then I don't want to be stoned while the owner, you know, and say something really dumb. And then also sometimes I get high and then people feel the need to tell me who they find funny, or
yep,
their opinions on Amy Schumer, or what jokes they like.
Yeah.
And then I just don't like to be,
yep.
So, but the guy gave me a joint to go, which was nice.
That's, there you go. That's polite.
That's the best case scenario.
That's exactly it.
Because then I don't have to, like, I have nothing wrong with the guy. I just don't know him.
Yes.
You know? And if you don't know people, I always feel like I'm on guard because you never know what's going to happen. I'm sure as a fighter, when people take a picture with you and always like make a fist,
yep,
do you ever wonder if they're going to take a swing at you? Or
No. It's more when they, like, you know, put me in a headlock, or they try and get me in a headlock. But for the most part, I think both of us, in many ways, in our respective professions, kind of get people that reflect us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think, especially, I would imagine someone that's going to see your show specifically likes you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
And then same thing. But I've had some really interesting questions or really interesting ultimatums and situations.
Now, you being like a male model slash fighter, do you get guys that come up to you and like, hey, will you sleep with my wife in front of me or my girlfriend?
I can neither confirm or deny that's
really?
Happened. Yeah, definitely. Of course, there's been weird situations like that.
And have you done it or no?
No, no.
No, yeah. You don't want to be around.
No,
yeah,
no, no. Because yeah. Then what if that swing really comes?
Yeah, right. And then you're naked, you're about to nut, exactly. And the guy all of a sudden wants to, yeah, it's just a bad yeah. Way. Yeah.
But either way, I have a girlfriend now. So, but I'm talking more back in the day. Weird situations have happened many, many times. Especially because like, in mixed martial arts or anything aggressive in sports, they're projecting certain things onto me in many ways, right? Like, so whether it's in the direction of that or, you know, bro, I know no one can ever knock me out, man. You don't understand. I got the heart. No one, you don't understand.
God. That sucks. Yeah. Or like they tell you about their friend who would beat anybody up in the world.
Undefeated on the streets or undefeated, I don't know, some kind of cage, not cage, but rather like underground fight team.
I had a guy hit me up the other day. He's like, hey, man, I really respect you a lot. I love your comedy. I want to get into comedy. I haven't done it, but I know I'm really talented. What should I do? Like what? Like I haven't done it, but I know I'm really talented. I've never rolled before, but I know I'd be a black belt, and I know I would dominate everybody, and I would be Abu Dhabi champion. Like, what is that? I don't even. Yeah,
it's because again, when they see someone like ourselves, whether it's in a cage or up on stage performing. In many ways, they see a finished product.
Right.
So they don't see the hours and hours and hours and hours that go into it. It's just we see someone on TV. Fuck, he looks like me. I could do that.
Right. A lot of times also, like it's like when you have a girlfriend, you know that you could have gotten any one of these girls.
Understood.
Like any girl that ever smiles at you or is polite to you, you could have gotten them. You only remember the times that you've actually succeeded with these girls. You never remember the other 99% where you screwed it up or you...
Go home with your hand.
Yes. Or the girl's a tease or maybe she's just being nice.
Yes.
Or maybe she just has a boyfriend. Or I can't tell. One of the worst experiences was I had these two sisters that wanted to hook up in... I think it was like Oklahoma City or something.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, follow me. And then the other comedian, this feature, who actually, he was the headliner when I was coming up. And then we, like 3 years later, we swapped. He was opening for me. So he resented me. So I'm like, hey, man, I want to take these girls back to the condo. He's like, no, man, there's a rule. No girls in the condo.
Which what?
Every like comedy club says, but no one ever follows it.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man. He's like, no, man, I have a laptop. I don't want them to steal my laptop. I go, first of all, I've seen your jokes. No one's taking these jokes. You know?
Just right away, just kick.
So,
kick them
like, give me a break. Like, you'd be lucky if anyone even wanted to have these for free. But then I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, I get these girls. I'm like, hey, follow me. We'll find a hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I don't know where I'm going. I'm driving. I'm looking back. I get caught in traffic. They're gone. My phone's dead. The whole night was ruined. I was kicking myself. And it was one of those things. These two girls were like, yeah, our boyfriends just cheated on us both. And we want revenge at them with a comedian from out of town. It couldn't have been more perfect.
Yep.
And I screwed that up. So if I could screw that up, I'm sure I could screw up plenty of other things.
Fair enough.
Now, your last fight.
Yep.
Great fight. Close fight.
Yep.
Were you nervous going into the third that it was going to be you needed to finish or to win by a big margin?
Either way, I like the longer a fight kind of goes because I don't have any real set background as a mixed martial artist. I've started about 6-7 years or 7-8 years ago now at this point. And I'm fighting guys like Caesar, who's been doing jiu-jitsu since he was 10. Tiago Santos, who's been kickboxing since he was 12. And then Sam Alvey, who has like 45 fights on him. So in many ways, I'm kind of hitting the ground running. So I love the mat time because I get to learn. I get to grow. And that's the most important part, game day, right? Because it doesn't matter how many times you won or tap someone in the gym.
But you
that's
also
not what
like to win, though. I mean,
yes,
that's
100%. Yeah, 100%. No, that's not the point I was trying to get at. But the idea that I'm just having fun in there. And obviously, I wanted to win. I think I should have done more of what I did in the second and the third, especially because he was backpedaling. Funny story. He broke his hand in the fight. That's not the funny story.
Yeah.
But sucks to be him. No. The more important thing being he actually... I did some antics. I was killing him with kindness the whole time because some fighters, they need to be, you know, angry. They need to pump themselves up. But basically, I was killing him with kindness. And then at the end of it, I ended up giving him a cake, because it was his birthday. Did not like that.
Really?
They gave him a birthday cake.
You gave him cake before the fight or after
the
fight?
No, what's it called? During weigh-ins.
Oh, my God.
Said, to the birthday boy, health, happiness, but sorry for the L.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he got mad, and he basically went to a mutual friend. He was like, man, what's wrong with your bro? I'm going to break his face. And the irony being that he actually
broke his hand
off my face.
That your hand, your face broke his hand.
Instead of his hand breaking my face broke his hand.
So we're watching right now Allen versus Gunnar. Gunnar, man, the guy looks, he makes Musasi look excited.
Yes, yes,
I mean,
he does.
He has permanent resting bitch face.
Yes, he's a Kermit face 2.0.
Have you ever fought a guy with, who just, you can't read their expression?
Not really. I haven't really noticed it. That's the thing. Like again, other people look different directions, but I usually look at the chest, right? So it's less looking at the eyes. But it's become like a meme, right, with him, Gunnar. One of the favorite ones where it's like angry, sad, whatever. It's all the same.
Yeah. Now Alan is also a model. Do you guys get competitive at all? Is there like a Zoolander thing where you and him are going to have some type of runway off or something?
Well, why divide when we can conquer and look great doing it? No, and we're different weight class anyway, so there's no real situation. And I'm team long hair. He's short hair.
Right,
he's slick as fuck.
Right. Now, are you really sponsored by Perel?
Yeah. No, not Perel. Pert Plus.
Pert Plus.
Yes. It's actually called Pert now. I'm part of the rebranding. I got the American account first, and I'm in the process of getting both Canada and Australia, so I'll actually be their world ambassador.
Wow. Yep. That must be really good money.
I can make more money being a hair model than punching people in the face.
Wow. That's amazing. Good for you, man. You deserve it. So
I appreciate it, brother. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of cool things I'm kind of
a lot of
working.
Work. What, do you have to wash your hair?
Yes. Rinse and repeat, bro.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
No, actually, with Pert Plus being the original 2-in-1, I actually get both conditioning and
What do you mean a lot
shampoo.
Of work? That is such bull. What kind of work do you have?
No,
what kind
I
of work?
I meant the work and the idea of the conversations with the
just getting the job.
Agency. What's it called? Having the, you know, having to go through a different, like, not only the marketing team, because Pert... branches out for another marketing team who was the one I originally had a conversation with. And then from there, Pert was on board. And then now it looks like we're going to get the whole rest of the world. I'm conquering
wow.
the world.
Wow. So now are you doing billboards? Or are you going to get...
So we did the first activation, essentially, of our endorsement and work together. And it's just it's a progress. It's going to be a long lasting thing, and we're just going to start adding more and more content, whether it's like billboards, whether it's commercials. I have a TV show in the works, so there might be different opportunities in regards to that as well.
Good
so,
for you, man.
Yeah, so that's where like kind of the hard work is. I'm not just punching and kicking people in the head. I'm thinking of different plans and different
good,
projects.
Man. It's crazy. Watching Alan right now.
Yep.
I moved to California 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and there was a gym opened up across the street for me called Legends about 8 years ago. So I go across the street, and there's like four people in there, one of them being Alan, mm-hmm. right? So he's like, hey, man, you want to wrestle? So I'm like, all right. And he never wrestled before. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're going – it's basically outside. There's a little octagon outside. It's almost going into the sidewalk. You have to walk around it. And I'm wrestling with him, and he had no technique. He didn't know anything. And now to see him – co-headlining an event is just shows you how great he is and how much of an athlete and how cool that is, you know. I mean, there are other, like, because like, I couldn't like beat LeBron James one-on-one 5 years ago, and then all of a sudden he's LeBron James. Like, but everyone's saying, I hope it doesn't go to the ground. And Alan is really good on the ground. I think he might either be a black belt or a brown belt in 10th Planet. Now, right now, he's an arm triangle, so as I'm saying this, I hope he doesn't get subbed. But he has a very underrated ground game, this Alan Jabon guy.
Well, even to his credit, obviously, he's in the disadvantaged position at this moment, but he's keeping strong in regards to his actual frames. He's trying to get space with Gunnar, and that's no easy feat.
So what would you do? So right now, Alan is on his back. Gunnar has him in full mount. Or actually, is it half guard, or he has...
Well, it's kind of a mixture of both. He's almost doing like a... No, it's not quite dope mount. It's on the opposite side. It's on top. Now, yeah, he's just basically shoving his way to mount.
So what would you do if you were Alan?
At this point, chaos is your best bet. You want to get space. I would just start trying to buck and try to get my elbows in and kind of go through the back underneath there. Or eventually, he's getting away from the cage. I would want to bring myself to the cage. Just like with my last opponent, Caesar, I literally stood up. and walked over to the cage. I actually was cognitive enough to walk all the way over to my corner.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now, so Alan knows he lost round one. He's got to know that. How many times in your 13 fights, right? 12 and 1?
14 and 1.
14 and 1. In your 50 fights, how many times have you lost round one?
I've only lost two round ones and one round three.
So is there panic mode as you go afterwards?
No, I think I'm a little bit of a slow starter. I think the longer it goes, like I would love nothing more than to have 10-minute first rounds. And then I'm all about cardio. Like I can go on for days. I'm probably the only 215-pound marathon runner. Like,
you run marathons?
I've run marathons. I do it on my own all the time.
Really?
It's my form of meditation.
So you could just do 26 miles?
I kind of cut it down to about like 30 kilometers, which is just short of, I think like 18, 17 on the regular without like...
How often do you run 18 miles?
Well, I'll easily do, I do probably about 10 kilometers a day, which would end up being just, I think it's like 7, 6 miles a day, just for fun.
Wow.
And that's my form of meditation. Especially now because I'm just coming off a fight. I'm kind of when I say just coming off a fight, my girlfriend will be the first person to say, you fought a month ago, stop drinking. But, the point being, oh, nice.
They're going
back
at
and
it
forth.
Now.
Yeah, they are. See, this is kind of Alan's best opportunity. Space, being aware of the track line against the cage, and start moving. I think he needs to create a lot of chaos because as soon as Gunny gets a hold of your hips, that's where the real danger is. Everything, whether it's a punch.
Oh
nice.
Oh,
wow.
Shit. It's over. It's over. Alan just got really hurt. Alan is not... It's over. Although, I feel... Okay, it's over.
Wow.
Fuck.
That was a...
Fuck. Okay.
Gunnar Nelson with a powerful. I think that was a left. He's a lefty, right?
That was a powerful right hand.
Isn't he a lefty? I think he's a lefty. So I think he hit him with a left, and that's what was.
Fuck, man.
Like another McGregor type deal, right?
Yeah. Damn. That was rough. That was hard to watch.
Did not expect that either.
No, I don't think Alan did either. Damn. Fuck. Yeah. But hey, look. You know, Alan wasn't ranked. Gunner is what ranked in the top 10?
Top 5 almost? Isn't he almost like 5, 7-ish?
So you lose to a guy in 7, you're not ranked. Your stock doesn't really drop that much.
No, definitely not.
Especially it's a pretty exciting fight.
Yep. No, in mixed martial arts, that's the kind of the positives of what it is. It's you lose one in boxing and you're irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, right. You lose one in boxing. You could be 30-0.
Yeah.
30-1, you're off the main card. You're on the... Yeah.
No, he's not a lefty. I was wrong. Yeah, it was the right.
Oh, fuck. Damn.
Yeah.
The ref should have stopped it right there. There was no fucking need to even get the submission. Although Alan does come back. That's the thing about Alan. So lately, let's talk about you for a sec. You've been calling people out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You called out Rashad Evans, right?
Very politely and in very Canadian fashion.
What did you say?
I thought it'd be an honor to fight him in general. Unfortunately, he lost to Brett Favre's older brother, Dan Kelly, who I have nothing but respect for.
You have to. You got to respect
him. Yes, I want to fight a legend in the sport, which Rashad Evans is. He's a Ultimate Fighter winner. He's a former champion, and I'd love to be the person that put him into retirement.
But don't you think that that's sort of calling somebody out late? Like,
I understand that. That's why I would happily fight Dan Kelly, who won. He's on a 4-fight win streak. He's underestimated and underrated, I think, because he is 105.
Yeah.
But still, he's on a 4-fight win streak, and that's a hard feat in the middleweight division. Going on from there, there are a bunch of people I would love to fight, but it's also the case of who is kind of, not injured or not already booked. There's been a couple of people. I would love to fight Christoph Jocko, who's like 14th, I think, or 12th or something like that. But I think he's fighting Talis Latis.
That dude's a monster.
Yeah, he's a big beast. But again, it's the weird situation where everyone's kind of all booked around that area. So I think I'm just as shy of the top 15, so I'm down to fight anywhere around there, and then also leaning into it too.
I think you and Kelly would be a great fight.
Yeah.
That would just be awesome.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be pulling for him because it's like the old man versus like...
Yeah, you want Grandpa to win.
The Greek god. At the same time, I think it's a great fight for you. You just have to... Although he did show me a lot. I was at cage fight. I thought Rashad was going to run through him. I thought it's speed, but Kelly has some chin on him.
Yep.
And he's... I don't know how he does it.
Never underestimate a guy that has to put food on the table for his kids.
He's and grandkids and great-grandkids.
just a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, it just keeps going. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. He was at the Last Supper. He was on table. He was the third guy down. Okay, so there, and then on Twitter yesterday, you said that Kelvin Gastelum is not a legend. What was that?
To be honest, part of it is I do create content for champions, and that was more or less a caption that I put in one of their articles. But he's a legend beater, but he's no way a legend. If anything, I joked around. Yeah. If anything, he's a legend at missing weight.
Oh, nice. Well, but he's on his way though.
No one can take away any of the momentum that he has. No one can take away what he's accomplished, and he looks amazing at middleweight. Not taking anything with him. He's not a legend. You can't just throw like right, of course, he's not right. A legend.
Yeah, I get it. Same thing happened with comics. People are like Nikki Glaser, these Brody Steve. I mean, these guys are good. Or Chris D'Elia is a legend. Yep. I'm like, okay, Chris D'Elia is a good comic. But there's to me, Jerry Seinfeld's a legend. Yep. Dangerfield's a legend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be careful who you are. By the way, there's a picture of Claudia in the crowd. Claudia is fucking hot.
I'm not going to disagree.
Francis, another guy.
I thought you were going to say he was hot, too.
Oh, yeah, he's also very, very hot. Now, okay, so also you have a girlfriend now? What is this?
Yeah. No, we've been dating for the better part of a couple of years now. We've been, it's difficult because of the amount of traveling I do, but... and you're seeing someone as well, right? So you know the idea.
I'm engaged.
Oh man,
I'm getting married in June.
Fucking A! Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Fucking A!
Yeah.
I think I actually saw a post of that.
No problem.
Yes.
They were gonna hire you as a stripper for the Bachelorette party.
Oh, I would have. Okay.
I said absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No. Who's this girl?
Your bachelor party.
Yeah, my bachelor party. Awesome. Now, who is this girl?
Michaela Altamira. She's
an
amazing
model
girl.
Or actress?
No. She's she actually works at Forever 21. She does floor plan specifically. The really cool thing with her job, she gets to, instead of like head office telling, she works in not necessarily retail, but she works in retail, but not on the retail side.
Right.
She essentially puts together the floor plans and the actual layouts of every her store or whatever. And the difference between that is with most, head office gives you a plan. She gets to be creative.
Nice.
She also works at a club. She does bottle service.
Okay. All right. Now I'm getting a better picture. Now
it's like
all right.
She's beautiful.
Service.
If that's what you're asking.
Okay.
She's beautiful.
Yes.
Both inside and out.
Right. Now I mean, you guys have been seeing each other for a while, but there've been a lot of women that have allegedly you've been with. I mean, thousands of women and
thousands,
thousands of women,
literally all of Connecticut.
Yeah, because I mean, every girl in Saskatchewa.
Those were a couple of years ago.
Yes, every girl in Calgary. Every province you've pretty much taken a. Now, how has she been able to deal with that?
You know what? I think I, for the first time in my life, I found someone that I think is a partner. I really respect her as a person. She's smart. She's funny. She is hot as hell.
Nice.
We really get along. Like, she gets me for the big man child I am.
Right.
Obviously there's, what I'm trying to say is the amount I travel, the amount I run around, it is difficult, but we've been really good at just communication and just getting better at it.
But you get girls right now that like always DM you naked pictures or on Facebook or
dudes
Instagram.
Too. So like, why limit
now,
yourself to 50%?
Is she possessive? Is she like, who the fuck
no,
is this? Or is she just...
She's very cool. In many ways, the thing that we had to deal with early on was just communication, and that's always a challenge, and we're kind of just working on it. I'm just really pumped, for lack of a better word, that I get to have someone that in my life that I truly care about.
Good, you're growing up.
I've I'm still a grown ass man child, and that's she will good. Be the first to tell you that. But
nice. I like you.
No, I'm really happy in my relationship.
Are you still hanging out with that maniac guy that you came to my show with? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what do you do for a living? He's like, I'm on Instagram. I thought he was lying. He's got 10 billion Instagram followers. Every one of them is hip of his 8-pack or reading a book or
with his 8-pack.
Yeah, or some weird shot where
with a dog
journaling with a dog and a baby. Who is that guy?
Engage. What's it called? Statistically speaking.
What's
anything with a dog and anything with abs. Nick Bateman.
Oh, that guy.
Anyone on the internet pretty much knows who he is.
He's the worst. I'm never taking a picture with him again. Seems like a nice guy, but he's like a guy that you could never hang out with.
Sure, I can.
Because he will. You can. any other guy, he will steal your girl, or even if he doesn't, your girl will yell his name in bed while you're having sex with him.
Yeah, your dad would even yell his name.
Yeah, that's
not your dad specifically, but
that dude is ridiculous. Nice guy, but
he's a sweetheart. But I understand. I it's so funny because like, people know who I am, and it's funny when I go out with them where like there's just the demographics difference. So like all these hot like girls will just be like, can I take a picture with you? Can I take a picture?
Yeah.
And then just a dude would be like, yo man, saw your last fight. Pretty good. Like,
yeah,
oh, thanks.
Yeah, dude, you're like the ugly chick in that relationship. Good. Yeah. I'm happy because
I'm totally fine with it.
Hopefully he has like a Brad Pitt or someone that makes him the ugly
exactly.
dude. But it's
I don't
bullshit.
Think no matter who he stands next to, he would ever that, be the ugly one.
It's like they say comedians are rock stars until real rock stars show up. That's sort of what it is, you know. There used to be a club called Dublin's. It was like the hottest club in like the 90s and 2000s for comedy. It's where Dane Cook, before he was Dane, got that start.
Yep.
And everyone was like, man, like no matter where you were, you almost wanted to go late in the lineup because like if you killed at 3, every chick wanted to fuck you until the number 4 guy went on. And then the number 5. So if you went on 2nd, you were forgotten about it by the time the 8th comic went up.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now, by the way, what do you think of Vitor Belfort calling out CM Punk?
Yeah.
Do you think he wins at this point? honest question. Like,
well, you know what Vitor has? He has about 30 to 40 seconds of just oomph.
Yeah.
Just gas pedal all the way down. And then the 50-year-old surfer lays on his back and goes out.
Right. Now, do you think he beats CM Punk at this point?
Yes.
I don't know if I honestly believe that.
I understand.
I think he will be. I think CM Punk. I think Vitor wins, but
could just size wise. I think you got to look at size wise.
But still, the same Vitor Belfort from 5 years ago. That wouldn't even like.
No one was better than TRT Tor.
Yeah. It wouldn't get out 30 seconds. But now CM Punk might get out a round. Might get out of the first round. I mean, I don't think it would happen, but. Stranger things have. I mean,
why don't we let Vitor? I think he has like one more fight left on his contract. Let's just cancel that. Let him go to Ryzen and just get him all the Mexican supplements we can.
Yeah, no.
And we just get him fighting Krokop or Vanderlei.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, even Krokop and Ryzen, who beat King Mo, was not the same Krokop that we saw in the UFC. Yeah.
This whole thing called drug testing.
Ah, man. How often do you get drug tested?
So I can't remember how many times. I think I've gotten tested about 6 times, 5-6 times, randomly. There's been some funny situations where, like, because I travel so much. Like, I did one of my camps with Chris Weidman out in New York, and I don't know how they got to my door because there was, like, basically a downstairs, and you had to, like, either if we locked it, then you can't get up to where my apartment was. Either way, I'm almost certain he climbed up the fire exit.
No way.
Yeah. And got in.
Wow.
And then just smashing on the door at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Wow. And ironically enough, I was actually wearing a free Nick Diaz t-shirt.
Oh, really?
I took a piss.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, I think Ellenberger said he pulled a gun on the guy.
Well, like, that's excessive. But I guess you guys, you Americans really are about your Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. And then Angela Magana said she was in Puerto Rico when they showed up. They like wouldn't go in the area, but first of all, Magana needs to get other tests as well besides a drug test. But yeah, I follow her. By the way, so right now, Corey Anderson is walking out. He is fighting Jimmy Manoa.
Nice.
It's a weird main event. Corey Anderson.
Understood. Especially for the Corey himself or
just,
Manoa?
Just Corey being in a main event is just like a strange guy to pick. I feel like only hardcore fans know Corey Anderson, and even them, it's like almost hardcore amongst the hardcore.
Yep.
Yeah, like he won the Ultimate Fighter. He's good, mm-hmm. but he's like, as far as, like, why wouldn't they put Brad Pickett, his going away fight, as the main event?
Well, size, unfortunately. Yeah. No one watches, for the most part, under a certain weight class. Yeah. For better or worse, but I think a part of it also is it's not really him, it's more his opponent, who is from London. So I think it's the London main event
with
whoever they paired him up with. And then obviously the UFC doesn't, they don't have much control over how the results go, but one would assume Manoa is the one that they want.
Yeah, of course. Now, what do you think of MVP?
Legit. Yeah.
I mean, you think he hasn't fought anybody really that good yet or to his level?
Yep.
I mean, they're obviously all good. They're in Bellator, but not to his level.
Yep.
How do you think he'll do when he comes across a guy like you, a grinder?
That's whether you win or lose, you got to evolve. Mixed martial arts is that. And I think what happens when you have someone that's so good at their one sales get, the real issue is their ego, whether someone wants to be a beginner again. I know many people that are, a solid kickboxer, but they get tapped out on the ground during training and they don't want to feel uncomfortable again. They almost feel like being a beginner is a bad thing.
Like a Joe Schilling kind of a thing?
Joe Schilling he's such an elite. I would more a Thatchett. You know what I mean? What's it called? That's why and all the undertones / rumors that I always heard is that he doesn't, well, he got cut.
Yeah.
No, that he doesn't like, he already got cut, but he doesn't like training jiu-jitsu. Like, you're in mixed martial arts. If that's the case, then go kickbox.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think there's our people that, and that's, I think, not always to bring it back to me, but I think that's where, like, people like myself, Rory McDonald being an example, who kind of started off as a blank canvas and then added mixed martial arts in its entirety. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, and I'm slowly trying to become master at some of them.
Now, what would you do if you fought a guy like MVP?
You would have to cut him off in regards to, all the way in, all the way out. I would obviously want to put him against the cage because he's shown that that's where, and not even showing, just you would assume that's where his weakest point would be. And you would just kind of flood him with options. Again, with wrestling, it's never the first shot. It's the second. It's the reshoot. And I'm constantly just trying to get a piece of him and toss him.
Yeah, I can't wait till he fights a guy. Speaking of Canadian fighters, I got to get your take on GSP Bisping because, man, I can't wait for that fight. Even though I don't think that fight should even happen. I mean, what's the point of having rankings if you're not going to follow them? What's the point of having even rankings? Not only are they not following the rankings, they're putting a guy in who took 4 years off and then putting them at, like, the weight class above them. It just makes no sense.
It makes no sense, but it makes all the sense in the sense, let's not say sense again, but in the idea that this is no longer, or what one could argue if it ever was a sport, but it's more or less sport entertainment. And with WME, for better or worse, the purpose is to sell tickets. The purpose is to sell pay-per-views. They have like $100 million on interest a year on those loans. So they got to be paying that somehow. And something like this, especially with, a loss of Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar disappearing, a couple of these legends maybe not necessarily being, Father Time. You can't be Father Time. So people are coming and going, and that's the way the sport goes. People will fade, and who knows what the fuck Conor McGregor's doing.
Yeah, but don't you feel like they're going to lose the hardcore fan base if they keep doing this? I mean, maybe the hardcore is like, fuck it, I just want to see. They don't care. But it just seems like, okay, we now have a legitimate sport. Like, it's a legitimate sport in essence. Like, it's no longer banned in New York. It's no longer, like how it was in the beginning. And sometimes those were awesome when there was headbutting and this and that and whatever it was. I mean, those are some fun fights to watch if like you go back in the day and you watch them. But now we have a legitimate sport with the legitimate rankings and rules and everything else. Like, let's say basketball. In basketball, I know the Lakers sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't all of a sudden put the Lakers in the finals because they sell tickets if they're a 500 team.
I think you're right, but there's difference in regards to the ranking system being owned by the who basically is set up and done by the UFC in general, or you know, media that kind of are working with them anyways. It's all relative in it in some regards, and also the fact that to kind of contra like the best of both worlds would be them what they're doing. They're gonna, instead of 53 shows like they did last year, they're only gonna do 31. They're gonna cut some fighters. They're gonna, like, for fuck's sake, 2.5 million people watched Hoyce Gracie versus Shamrock and the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
So you just got to put it on free TV. They own something like a content provider that is UFC Fight Pass, and they also have a deal with Fox that they're going to renew. The rumor is that they're going to try and bump it up to $400 million a year. You do that for the casual fan who just wants to watch it on TV, who will watch a better product than fucking Kimbo versus Data 3000.
And Bellator.
But the thing is, people will watch it nonetheless. You have some names. There's use of different veterans that will get people, and especially if it's on free TV anyways, and you put the pay-per-views, you maybe have like 5, maybe 10 a year of a stacked card.
But there's a thing called jumping the shark, you know, where like, I'm all for fun fights.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have, you want to have CM Punk versus Herschel Walker on a card, or you want to have, you know, you want to have Soulja Boy, Chris Brown, you know, I don't even care if you did put that in there. It's fine. But when you have the titles at stake, when you have the top five, and GSP might win. That's the even scariest part about this whole thing is that, you know, Bisping is not, it's not like, but there are four guys in Jacare, Rockhold, Weidman, Musasi, and Romero, five guys that are busting their ass, and they want to be the champion, and they've earned it, their shot. And now you're just like, okay, we're throwing in this guy who hasn't fought in 4 years, and it is GSP, but we're giving him a title shot at a higher weight class because it'll sell tickets. You know what? Bisping Romero will sell tickets.
Yep.
It won't sell the most as many tickets as GSP will, but why not have GSP fight Woodley? I mean, that's his weight class.
Yep.
If you want to give him a title shot, give him a title shot at his weight, as opposed to Bisping. I mean, honestly, it's good for Bisping because he's making money, and you know, he fought six guys that were roided out or whatever it is, and you know, but at the same time, it's sort of it kind of sucks for, I think, for the Yoel Romeros who don't speak English and aren't stars and aren't marketable.
Oh, forget.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't help guys like Colby Covington either, because now you got these guys that are ranked 14, 15, but they're not even getting any closer to the title shot. And in some ways, it's like, hey, even if you get there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, honestly, I agree with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Obviously, new ownership, potentially new direction, interim belts for all. With that being said, all I have to say to both the main event, don't hate the player, hate the game. I think I love that Bisping potentially, like, I'm friends with both of them, like, I'm buddies with both of them, so you know, I don't really have a dog in a fight because I just impartial. I want them all to make as fucking much money as possible, and no one gets injured, great fight, all that jazz. I think someone like Bisping, who just a year or so ago, I remember sitting down with him in LA where he was all, you know, just before he was running off to do XXX in Toronto. He was almost being more reflective about a fight, about his fight career. He was almost like just saying, yeah, I'm going to hand in the gloves pretty soon. He wanted to basically have one more fight.
Is it after he won too?
No, this is before. This is way before. I think the fight that was supposed to happen with him and Whitaker.
Yeah.
And thing. I think he had a bum elbow or something like that at the time. But either way, the point being, he was kind of reflective. And here, you know, this is a real moment of someone, an Ultimate Fighter winner, someone who had so many fights. And that's kind of what he was expressing, the idea that he wanted to beat GSP's, you know, most wins, and then retire. And then ironically enough, he's going to end up fighting George not too much later. So I'm really pumped for his Cinderella moment that he's kind of having. And again, all the money that he's making.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if many people know this, but he is the one of, maybe not anymore with Conor McGregor around, but he was at one point the highest disclosed paid fighter ever.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, and he's, you know, played the heel this whole time. He, like, sometimes I when I tell people I'm buddies with him, like is he an asshole? I'm like, no, he's just playing the part. That's his shtick.
I tell people he came to my comedy show at the end, helped me put away chairs.
Yeah,
like that's the kind of guy. Yeah. He's a real like blue collar. Yep. Like just a nice guy.
He's a fighter. Like he's a nice dude who found his niche market. He was, again, it gets weird by saying he was, you know, Conor McGregor before he was Conor McGregor, but more in the idea, again, being the brash Brit, the brash person from down out there. And then with George, again, the most dominant, what's it called? Welterweight of all time. You know, 3 years, 4 years, he's been retired my whole UFC career. Like, I remember watching when I was in the Ultimate Fighter house, we watched his last fight against Johnny Hendricks in the house. And they made a whole thing about it. Like, there was like popcorn, there was like all like booze and stuff. And we had a good time. And, you know, it was a close fight then. And we were like, I remember looking at my buddy Luke. We're just like, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah. I thought he lost that fight.
Yeah, exactly. It was a close fight. But either way, you know,
that fight,
you
got on. I feel like that fight took more out of Hendricks than it did, or the Robbie fights took a lot out of Hendricks, you know, the Lawler fights.
Yeah, definitely.
Both of them. Now, who do you think wins? Have you training with GSP at all?
In the last little bit that I've been at TriStar, he's actually taken more, like, before that, he was taking more of a coaching role, and then obviously doing his own individual training and stuff like that. But he's honestly still a shit brick house. Always even when I'm in shape, I just feel like, you know, lazy around him because he's. Ooh,
okay.
Nice.
All right. So Manoa just dropped Corey. We're watching that right now. Corey, it's done. It's over. And he walked away. Manoa with the walkaway knockout in one round over Corey Anderson. This dude has serious power.
Yep.
He has serious power.
Yeah.
Wow. It was not a good day for Americans in the main event.
No.
Yeah, and I feel like that might have been by design. But, you know, wow. So GSP, who do you think wins, him and Bisping?
Here's the thing. I think both have opportunity to win this thing. Obviously, George coming off of such a long layoff, that's a huge task for anyone. But I think if anyone can do it, it would be George. His focus, he's been very public about it, like his OCD, and that's what kind of like he had to step away from mixed martial arts because like he never enjoyed the fruits of his labor. Like he was so obsessed with, you know, I just won my title. And then the top contender, you know, before they were just throwing out interim belts for a while, he would know who he was fighting. And it's like, well, if he's just fought and I just fought, then it means it's only 3 months. But then with this, like he would never stop thinking.
Day.
It would just consume him.
That's how I am. Yeah. I have OCD as well. Like I went to go see a psychiatrist and they said, from a 1 to 10, I'm about a 4, and they put me on medication for it. Like I still take it, but it's you really are a prisoner in your own head. It's one of the worst things. And as much as people want to tell you shut up, or you know, they would always tell you, oh, just think of a stop sign and stop, or don't worry about it. That's the worst, because then like you're never in the moment.
Yep.
You're always somewhere else. And then you're beating yourself up afterwards for not being in the moment.
Yep.
So it's double the whammy.
Yep.
And it's something, it's over something so stupid. It's never like, it's never OCD. It's just everything becomes a snowball where it's like, oh shit, you know, like I'm on stage and I'm having, that joke didn't work. And that means I'm not funny. And then I'm not gonna be able to pay my rent. And I'm gonna get fired from this comedy club. And then I'm gonna have to go home. And then my girl's gonna leave me. And then I'm gonna get evicted. And after I get evicted, I'm gonna be on the street.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna be homeless. And then everyone I'm gonna high school is gonna tell me I'm a loser. And then it just goes on. And all in like 10 seconds that happens. And then but it's just, you do this all fucking day long. And if you're not on medication or I tried doing that other thing where you end up saying a thought and then putting it on loop over your head.
It could just be
so fucking hard. I understand why GSP, why that could be. Because everyone else is telling you how great you're doing, but in your head, you're just like...
Yep. But so with that, like, again, he's been very public about the idea that this kind of like time off has allowed him to decompress and enjoy the fruits of his labor. He was a champion for 7 years, right? And then you throw in the fact that he did take a lot of damage. Like, people criticized him at times for, you know, being quote unquote a decision machine or whatever like that. But it takes two to dance. And if you can't beat the champion wins.
No,
He's also taken a lot of shots, so he needed that time. I think if anyone can do it, it's him. Whether fans will be happy with the end result is a different thing. I think he's very good at setting a game plan and being able to get, you know, the jab and the double and the blast double, and he's going to look for different positions and try and get a submission. But I think it's going to be really on him to be able to be in the moment. It's all about game day. It doesn't matter how good you are in the gym. It matters performing on the time. I think with Bisping, you can't replace the mat time that he's had. He's has this momentum. He beat Anderson Silva. He knocked Luke Rockhold to death. What's it called? He just beat it. Well, he also got dropped a million times by Hendo, but still Hendo is Hendo. And now he's getting to fight as the bigger person. With George, his body, like, he has bird bones. So I think he was even hinting he could potentially go down to 155.
Wow.
It would probably be a catch weight. They would try a test cut and see if they can go down for, you know, McGregor versus him, for the right price, right? Everyone's got a price. Right. I think, with George, I think he has the opportunity to bulk up and be bigger. He will obviously be a shorter middleweight, but no one's more physically dominant at using their hips in the way he does.
I've said that to Bisping. He's a big guy. I mean, he's probably walks around up 205, 210.
I walk around 217.
I've said this to GSP, and I felt like I was bigger than GSP.
It's misleading. But I also think George has the frame that you can add muscle onto it. He's already muscular, and again, the powerful aspect is actually his hips and his legs. Dead ass don't lie.
Right. I've never seen a fighter at the first MMA awards. GSP walked in, and the whole... I forgot where it was, the MGM or whatever. It was training GSP. I never saw a more beloved fighter. People love Conor, but it's more like he's a rock star.
Yep.
And they're like singing songs, the Irish people, yep. And they're more drunk and partying. GSP, it's more like a genuine like love.
Yep.
Like, and they respect him. You never hear anything bad about him. You know, he never gets DUIs, never, you know, drugs, never.
Yep.
He's just a good role model. He's someone that if you're like... If I had a son one day, when I have a son, hopefully one day, or a daughter, and I say, hey, there's an athlete you want to emulate, it would be GSP.
Yeah.
He just seems like that's the guy.
No, 100%. And also throwing in the aspects, he was, in many ways, you were talking, you were relating him to, or comparing him to Conor, and the difference between them, George was the product of his time, in the sense that when you have a niche sport, a niche market like mixed martial arts, senators like John McCain calling it human cockfighting, then who better to have its brand ambassador than a polite French Canadian?
But I feel like with Conor, people either love him or hate him, or they want to see him get knocked out.
You're watching regardless, right?
Whereas GSP, people either love him or they're indifferent.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one wants to see GSP get knocked out. Maybe a couple people do, but
jerks, and
for the most part, you're not like with Conor, I can't wait to see him lying there. Whereas GSP, you'd almost like you'd feel bad if he was lying there.
Yeah. Well, the first time I ever met him, like, he bought me cheesecake. We were like, because, we went on a date. No, I'm kidding. One of my original coaches, wrestling coaches, Nick Johnson, used to train with him back in the day, and then we were eating lunch or dinner or whatever it was, and then he was just like, oh, hey, and he basically said hello, and he introduced himself or whatever, and when we went to go pay for the bill, George already paid for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, there's a rumor going around he only likes, like, heavy black women. Can you confirm that or deny that?
I think he doesn't. I think I don't know if it's only I just know he's the kind of person that can get any woman he wants.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's it. Because I always ask Patrick Cote, and there's an awkward silence when I ask Cote. But by the way, so other fights that have been made recently. The fight's coming up, actually. Cormier versus Anthony Johnson. Who do you like in this fight?
Yeah, it's never really who I like. I think, you know, this one's interesting because we kind of talked about it before. But basically, I think Johnson can knock anyone out in any direction. Like, even the most unathletic pose. I saw that. I saw the highlights of that. Even in the most unathletic pose, he will. And even the most. Oh, bam.
Yeah, by the way, we're watching the highlights of Mark Diakis knocking out Tomu Pakkalen. This guy, Mark Diakis, looks like he's
savage.
From a video game. Yep. I mean, he looks like what you play in Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. Yep. And he, those moves that I don't even know, I wouldn't even know where to start on learning those moves.
It's very interesting. Yeah, he obviously has a background in breakdancing. Yeah. It's very interesting to see fighters that have that. It translates in jiu-jitsu too, I've been told, to see. I even, like, one of my coaches, Lachlan Chang, he has a background in just, you know, he had a hobby in breakdancing, but the ability to basically be able to not emphasize, but rather take advantage of strong positions, just like in jiu-jitsu, just like in wrestling.
Yeah.
It's all about strong shapes, and they all translate.
Yeah, it seems like also like capoeira might be a background as well. So like we were saying, where Cormier can win this fight through wrestling and grinding him out, but Johnson has, I feel like Cormier has to do everything right to win, whereas Johnson can make mistakes, but he just needs that one shot.
Yep.
I mean, Cormier has power too. Yep. We're talking about a guy that knocked out Bigfoot back in the day in Strikeforce, but doesn't seem to have as much power as Anthony Johnson.
Yep.
I mean, that guy is just, I don't know what it is. It's insane.
I think you labeled it completely right in the sense that Cormier has to do everything right, whereas Anthony Johnson could get picked up and thrown around for a couple of rounds and then just, you know, stepping backwards, throw an uppercut and just...
But he does get tired, though. I feel like Cormier's got a better gas tank.
I 100% agree. I think not only that, I think sometimes Anthony Johnson breaks in the less dominant position. I think if, like, you know, you get him on his back and you're on top of him and you hit him a bit and you kind of constantly threaten for a neck if he turns his back, you know what I mean? Pushing him against the cage. You've seen it with, like, even in middleweight when he did it with Vitor Belfort that choked him out, or Anthony Johnson got choked out eventually. Was it the third round?
Yeah, I think it was the third round.
Same thing. I think that's kind of a situation that can happen again. If he gives it up, but not even gives up, if he just kind of allows it to slip out of his hands, I think there are options for Cormier to basically submit him or just break him, break his will. But I think Anthony Johnson has an opportunity to basically knock him out and knock him dead. Five rounds.
Yeah. And by the way, when I talked about GSP liking big black women, there's obviously nothing wrong with that. Who doesn't love big black women? Some of them, the most fun time I've ever had were with, you know, thicker women. But a lot of times, you know, thick women, they know what they want and how to give it to you. Do you only go for models and tens or nines?
I can find something beautiful about any type of woman.
Really? Mm. Nice.
I don't necessarily have a type.
Have women ever offered you money to sleep with them? I feel like women...
Offered me money?
Yeah, women. Like, you'd be...
No, but what's it called? There's like this weird, like, I've been offered by dudes for their wives. Like, that was like weird cuckolding shit.
That's
like,
so weird.
Yeah, like rich dudes and stuff like that.
And I'm hearing about that more.
How much
and more,
money?
More
no,
and
I'm
more.
Like, no, at a zero. No, what? No, I'm kidding.
It's crazy.
And
I don't know what's wrong with these people.
In a relationship.
If you have a girlfriend and you have a wife and you want to bang her, fine. I don't understand this whole cuckolding.
Well, I think it comes to the same idea where, you know, people don't understand the OCD aspect that you have. I think we're all more or less chemical bags and in the way different chemicals work.
I don't think cuckolding's a chemical imbalance.
Yeah, sure. Not necessarily a chemical imbalance. It could be in the sense of, if you're looking at the psychological aspect, these could be very, again, because they have the money, these could be very rich individuals who want to be, they're normally in the dominant position. They want to be subservient to whatever situation. And especially if you're talking about an older man who isn't physically strong, you have a fucking stallion. Just think of like fucking Anthony, just paying Anthony Johnson $100,000 just to go to town and your wife.
I pay $100,000 not to.
Exactly. Or you, for that matter.
Any amount of money.
Please don't either me. Don't have sex with me or my girlfriend.
That's insane. But to me, it's like...
But everyone's kink's different. Like,
I think it's all when you get married for the wrong reason. That's the stem. You get these women who want money, so they marry guys they're not really into or turned on by, but they're turned on by money.
I think... Sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
Guys who are into the girls who are beautiful, but it's just not really a match. But so now, all of a sudden, now we have a problem because she doesn't want to fuck. He doesn't really do it for her. Mm. And now it's like, okay, she divorces me and takes half my money.
Yep.
So now I lose half everything, or I just get a guy to just nail her and she's happy.
Yeah, no. A couple of my friends are in the lifestyle of you know, open marriages and stuff like that. Sometimes it's the husband that's more interested in watching his wife get plowed That's what I was implying. It's the idea that, again, you have this powerful, not necessarily this, not even if we're talking about the age thing or what's called physicality, we're talking, let's say a high-powered lawyer, a high-powered attorney, whatever like that, normally such a dominant individual wants to kind of feel helpless and feel on the weaker point for whatever reason. You never know what really, especially like with sexuality, it's a different thing because there's different imprints around your actual childhood that kind of make you the individual that you are.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I get it. I went to a swinger party once. It was one of the strangest things. These, like Phil Barone. He used to be in the group. He was in Skid Row, the drummer.
Yep.
He was in Skid Row after Sebastian Bach left. So not really. Anyway.
Yep.
So he was some part of this like thing called Lifestyle Lounge. It was like this website for swingers, and he was like on it. And then I did a show at the Improv, and then I get surrounded by like 50 cougars who are kind of hot, actually. And they're like, hey, you know, you're so funny. We're part of the lifestyle. They said, best of the lifestyle, 20. You want to come to this party? So my friend was going through a divorce, and I'm like, yo, it was like the Super Bowl party. I'm like, all right, let's go to this party. It's in Pasadena, right? So we go down there, and my friend's like, an emotional wreck. He's a comic, and his wife just left him. So I'm like, this will be funny at least. So everything seems kind of normal at first, right? But then there's like this, like it's a huge house. There's like little kid rooms, and you walk into the room, and people are just banging in rooms, like on the kid swing set or whatever. So this one guy was like, hey, I want to his wife. I want you, you know, you give Adam a blowjob in front. And I'm like, no, I couldn't have him there.
I told you that again.
Not good for me, right? So now the football game's on Super Bowl. It's like the last thing. It's like one of the best games. I think Reggie Bush was in it. One of those games back in the day. It was the New Orleans Saints for. And it's the fourth quarter, and everyone's watching it, and it's on a bar outside, and this girl is lying down like a turkey, like an upside down turkey, right, on the bar, while a guy is putting his fist in her, right, like she's getting fisted while the game's on top. So I don't even know where to look. I'm like, I'm looking at the game.
Clearly look
I'm
at
looking
her
down. I'm looking. It's one of those things. So this girl next to me, who looks like a school teacher, goes, "Oh, that's so terrible." And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, he's doing it wrong. like that was what I was like, dude, I'm in some weird. And that was the last swinger party I went to. Yeah. After that, I was done.
Cool.
I just couldn't deal with that. You ever do a swinger party?
Nah, not really. What's it called? I've never actually gone. There's a couple in Toronto or whatever like that. That again, a bunch of friends and stuff like that have gone, and I've heard some crazy stories. But no, I've never kind of happened.
No. Last time I saw you, you had a trainer. That was like, must have been like 5'2", 84 pounds. He was half Asian, but he knew everything about MMA. I mean, this guy was like an idiot savant. And he was like your master splinter. Where I don't know if he could do it himself, but he could see things. He's still with you, that guy?
Yeah, no, he's a really good friend. I mentioned him earlier, Lachlan Chang.
Right.
So with him, no, he's definitely still part of my career, and he's also moved into different aspects in regards to in the pharmaceutical industry and whatnot, and he's doing different things in genetics and stuff like that. So it's really cool. He's like you said, he's the smartest guy in any room. And mixed martial arts is actually more or less his hobby rather than his career. So he was my coach, kind of. Obviously, he was all in, but you know how there's usually 24 hours in the day. There's like 36 in his.
Yeah, you know, he knew exactly. Like he would tell you footwork. I mean, he knew every fighter. He would tell you exactly. By the way, and I got to give a shout out to Robin Black because I know he's kind of going through a hard time with jobs and stuff. There was a fighter who told me, top five fighter, I'm not going to say his name, that he hated Robin Black's breakdowns because he was so good at them that it would tell his opponent what he was going to do. And he was to a T. He was actually upset that Robin Black had him figured out so much. So, you know, much respect to Robin Black because, you know, somebody told me that and he didn't even know that. But he seems like there's a guy very passionate. You know, the sport takes all kinds, but he seems like he knows what he's talking about.
Yep, and Robin was my first manager. He's a really good friend. He's a dear person in my life. I'm actually missing, like, they're doing a little taco and tequila night for him back home. I'm going to miss it, unfortunately. But I'm going to try and grab him. We actually grabbed you know, tequila and taco. That seems to be a theme in his life. But what's it called? A couple of weeks ago, we got some drinks and stuff like that and caught up. He's someone that believed in me right from the beginning, and I am someone that always believed in him, and no matter what. I know he'll find his feet, and I know he'll go in the direction that I think it was inevitable. I think in many ways he was able to kind of outgrow what he was doing anyways. I think it's just the case where he didn't leave before they left him.
Yeah.
So obviously no one wants to be the, you know, there's a hammer and nail in every situation. Unfortunately, obviously leaving the network that he was with, it kind of, you know, it said, I'm like, well, something I was planning to do in a year, well, it's happening today. But he's starting his own podcast. I think it's Fighting is About Fighting.
Yeah.
I even messaged him recently about like a couple of ideas I had or whatever like that. And we're going to spitball. And like I said, tequila soon.
Yeah, no, he'll be fine. There aren't many guys that can do what he does.
No. And he's, again, what he's very, he's reinvented himself many of times. He used to be in a rock band. He used to be the lead singer. He's then he switched and tried to become a professional fighter. And he has 10 or just, he has 9 professional fights under his belt. And
has he won any of them? Or
he's won 4,
nice.
And then lost 5.
Okay,
I think he wanted to go 500, but again, this is someone who didn't make his pro fight until he was 36.
And he probably did a ton of drugs and everything else.
He has some of the funniest stories when, like, him in Venice, like, you know what I mean, like on a bender, having lunch like at a Versace event, and he's just like, wow, life ain't too bad, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like he's reinvented himself so many times, and obviously he's not reinventing himself in regards of his passion, but he's reinventing himself in his way to get it out to the masses. He's starting his own podcast, YouTube channel, whatever the technical.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Again, what has been the biggest opportunity for him has been the breakdowns that he's been able to put on online, and those are what got him out. So he's starting his own thing
now. McGregor versus Mayweather, like, I think, you know, at first I was like, what is McGregor doing? Now I think it's a win-win for him, because if he loses,
sure,
he loses to this. He's going to get $50 million or whatever, probably more than that. He's not going to get that to fight Khabib or any one of these Ferguson, which would be a much tougher fight. So it's a quick payday. But do you think he has any shot of winning?
I think he has a shot in the sense that Floyd has had some trouble with southpaws before. But in the same time, he's obviously going to a different sport. I think Mayweather, everyone knows this, he is the best defensive boxer of all time. I think someone, I can't remember who said it, but basically, if they don't touch gloves, they might not...
that was
Mayweather.
Me.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
That was the only contact he's going to make in the fight, is when they touch gloves.
Yeah.
I just can't... I mean, but who knows? I mean, what do I know?
I don't remember that. I knew you did that.
I thought that Brock Lesnar was going to get killed by Mark Hunt in the rematch, and then he didn't. So, but, you know, I'm not comparing... But I'm just saying, there are times that I've been wrong. A lot of times I'm wrong about things. I thought Alan was going to be Gunner, but it's, well, you know, when you're friends with people,
the emotional connection, obviously,
you can't, but, you know,
you don't want to root against them and whatnot. But I think with Floyd, like you said, it's a win-win situation. He's not going to get knocked out. Like I don't think so. The only
what do you mean, for Floyd's not going to get knocked out?
Or Connor? Connor's not going to get.
I mean, he can get stopped, don't you think? If he gets hit with 30 punches in a row?
I don't think he gets knocked out. I don't Mayweather has had so many surgeries with his hands. He's the best defensive boxer. I think he's a he's fighting a rangy southpaw, which he doesn't again, he has trouble. He still beat them. He's undefeated for a reason. He's 49-0. I think at this point McGregor doesn't need, like, I think it's more Mayweather needs McGregor to stay relevant than anything else in some regards.
Do you think it's going to happen?
I think all signs pointing to yes. I think it is, and I may or may not have the same management as Conor McGregor.
Really?
I don't know anything.
Oh, come on. Really?
I don't know anything.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
I have no idea.
Oh, you're so full of shit, man. That's awesome. So it's going to happen. So
I have no idea.
Come on. You're a terrible liar. Don't ever get arrested. You're going to start cracking up on the fucking witness stand.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah, right. Give me a break. Damn. That's crazy. Wow. By the way, shout out to Sarah Kaufman last night, who beat... She won her fight against Jesse Jess.
Yep.
I like Jesse. Jesse Jess has probably the nicest butt in MMA, by the way. If you want to check out an ass, check out Jesse Jess. pretty girl too.
Okay.
I those Australian girls, they just they have like, I mean, she doesn't have a tattoo on her eye of a teardrop or something. I don't know what it is. It looks a little scary, but but there's something about Australian chicks that are tatted up that just, it's hot. I don't know what it is. I'll take an Australian accent on a girl over a Boston accent any day of the week.
Yes. One would figure.
Nothing is worse than a Minnesota accent, Boston. New York, I don't mind. Brooklyn, fine. But Maine is terrible. But Australia and England are the best.
The boner would just be ruined.
Canada's not bad. Not well, great. But
not great. It's not anything. It's just plain.
Yeah.
In many ways. Like, fun fact, most, like in like journalism school and like broadcasting school, it's told to basically talk, like the projected accent you want is someone from Ottawa, Northern Ottawa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just a plain spoken individual like that. Oh. That's what they try to emulate. Hmm. And that's why there's a bunch of like people on like CNN and like.
For a guy who doesn't read, you know a lot of facts, by the way.
Huh?
For a guy who never reads, you know a lot of facts.
I read.
I'm just kidding.
Well, that's also, again, you're the product of the people that you surround yourself with. And we talked about Lachlan and the ability to kind of, you know, be the smartest person in any room. He in many ways rubbed off on me in the sense that just the hunger for growing and learning. I'm not really a one-track mind individual. For instance, like I getting a little bit of slack on the idea that like all the outside projects I've been working on, but there's 24 hours in the day, and I'm a professional fighter for the two sessions a day that I do, and then there's so much time in between. And we talked about it, like I don't have kids, so I have the opportunity to in many ways be very selfish in my life, and the time that I do have, I spend it with my girlfriend and we make up for it. But again, I think you're doing yourself a disservice, and it was Lachlan who said it, and I agree with it, and the idea that if you don't leave with like $3 million from fighting, you did it wrong. And I'm trying to do that in the best possible way, and whether it's actually doing it from fighting or making it outside in regards to the different projects that I myself, for instance, am working on.
That's awesome. Now, the Amazing Race Canada.
Yep.
You lost.
Yes, I did.
How did you lose that?
Well, I have dyslexia, so I actually did it with my girlfriend. So we did it. We did the show together. We weren't even really together. We just like we're kind of seeing each other, and then she kind of like I did. I'm the first person in Amazing Race to get picked with two different partners, and then they just kind of like figured it out. So I was doing it with my training partner, and they're like, we loved it. And then my now girlfriend, she's just like. Like kind of half joking and like, ha, I want you to do it with me.
Of course.
Like, let's do one. Right. Exactly. Of course. We did one and it's hilarious as fuck. And, they picked us and she's like, well, shit, I don't actually want to do this. I just wanted you to want me to do it. So, luckily I'm the one that lost. So it didn't, embarrass her. I have no real ego in the sense, but I have dyslexia. So, I was doing a broadcast, and I now work for TSN, which is essentially the ESPN of Canada.
Right.
And we were doing a broadcast, and you have to basically just read down the thing. And
how is that a race if you're doing a broadcast?
It's part of the race. You have to race between everything, right?
Yeah.
Like there's different challenges in between. So one of them was a broadcasting thing. And it's like, again, there was like a clue. And it's like, who feels sporty? Mm-hmm. And then we obviously, I'm the sporty one. And then we took cue into TSN, and we're supposed to do this thing. But with the broadcast, you're supposed to read it, and I've done it many times before. But the thing is, and you would know this, if you ever make a mistake, you just keep going through.
Yeah.
You're a live event. You just keep going. With my dyslexia, there's like 73 different types of dyslexia. Mine specifically, I speak louder than I think louder than I can speak. And then also, I kind of flip words to make more sense in my head. So simple things like instead of saying gorgeous goal, I said glorious goal, right? Or like there was another couple of things here and there that I kind of messed up when, and they don't tell you what you do wrong. So I do the whole thing, and again, I'm being the broadcaster. Other people are straight up just reading it, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, hi, I'm Elias Theodore. I'm putting my like I'm actually doing my job. And then the same thing would happen with the actual guy that used to be in TSN as well. He was on the CFL, and he was also a broadcaster there. He and I were both last because, again, if you had any training in it, it was actually to your detriment because of all the law, of all the tricks and the rules that you kind of do to just fake it till you make it and just kind of go through. And then again, to my to my credit and basically the situation, I got to lose without getting punched in the head.
Did you did you really care that you lost or no?
Well, it was devastating at the time because of all the cool places we wanted to go. We were the first out. But the kind of silver lining is I was responsible for the greatest Canadian broadcast ratings in Canadian history.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I was direct marketing. I figured it out. I was actually responsible for a 20% boost that actually completely left when I left. So, like the producers, because there's like, I don't know how familiar you are with Amazing Race. There's different things where it's like not everyone's elimination. So, like usually by the third or fourth race, and they have discretion where to put it. And I don't know if they do it like, oh, we really like this team, whatever. But they couldn't do it the first episode.
Right.
Just kidding. No one goes home today. Don't fuck this up again, right? They couldn't do it because it's supposed to be a contest. But they've already hinted they want us both back, and especially they even kind of joked around, if you guys break up, we want you even more so
<That's>
to come back. So
they're evil.
Again, it was. It was a cool experience. Like there's a whole like different beforehand that kind of getting ready that you kind of process that you do, and that's where me and my girlfriend and I got to spend essentially a week together and bang like bunnies.
Nice.
And what do you call it? Just get to know each other. And then after losing in such a devastating way, she, again, it kind of worked out because I lost rather because she did hurt.
Oh, right.
Like,
if she would have lost.
Yeah, she would have lost. She would probably have been a lot more, you know, nervous about it, especially because of the idea that I'm in the public eye in some regard. But the fact that she gets to laugh at this big idiot and then kind of hold it on me, like
that's
anytime
awesome.
I do something, she'll just be like, yeah, well, at least I didn't lose the race.
That's hilarious. So who are we calling out now? So we called out Rashad Evans. Who else? Well, five guys Elias wants to fight.
Yeah. Well, see, it's just confusing on who. Like I said, Christoph Jocko would be an interesting fight. Talos Latis would be an interesting fight. Like, there's like a bunch of guys, but it's just this weird thing of who's fighting.
What about the winner of Masvidal? Who's Masvidal fighting? Masvidal Maia.
The welterweight, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like both my legs.
No, they're 185, aren't they?
No. Oh. Maya went down from 185.
Oh, yeah. All right, so 185. So we gotta think, who's at 185?
Fuck, well, again, if instead of fighting CM Punk, Vitor Belfort, but not in Brazil, because...
Oh, well, he didn't look too good in Brazil.
No. But I don't even know, like, again, I don't know where anyone
is. What about the winner of Kelvin Silva?
I don't think he wants to fight me at that point. He's gone too far ahead. Of course, right. I would love to. I would have loved to fight Silva. Even if Silva loses, I would love to fight Silva. You know what I mean? Like, again, it's one of those things where I would love to fight Rashad Evans, not because of necessarily the place that he's in, but rather the fact that it'd be an honor to fight a former tough champion, a former champion, and someone that I idolize getting into this sport.
What about Derek Brunson?
Derek Brunson would be a great fight too. Like again, I don't know. He's also on a 3-fight losing streak, I think. So it's that weird thing. Like he's still, I think, ranked higher than me, but it's two fights.
I think Whitaker and Anderson, right?
You might be right.
Yeah.
So it's just confusing about where the middleweights are. And especially, you know, they want to throw an interim belt on this, whatever.
Yeah, hell yeah. So what do we have coming up?
I'm more running around. I did this project, this broadcast that I was doing, and then I got a couple of, I basically been offered a couple of leads on different movies.
Nice.
And an action movie, I can't talk about it too much. And then another one, which I can talk about, which is called Street Fighters. If all goes well, we're going to partner up with Capcom. So the idea is I'm a mixed martial artist, huge stretch, and I get injured. Think kind of like Anderson Silva, broken leg kind of thing. And there's a real question on whether I'll be able to be a fighter again. And I'm trying to basically find myself in a new direction in my life. And I turn to competitive video gaming. So I live vicariously through Ryu.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And then it's an amazing thing. I'm actually a producer on it. I own a certain percentage of the actual project. It's a great way to work with different brands that I'm going to be having a part of it. And then, like, you know, conversation with Microsoft and Sony right now. We're talking to Capcom. There's a potential to, like, the person is obviously built around me, the character. He lives off of, as my girlfriend would say, energy drinks and compliments. So there's basically a whole theme of energy drinks essentially leveled me up, obviously, with the direction of that. And then there's a potential book, a graphic novel that's called like Confessions of a Caped Crusader, I believe. They want me to essentially be the Batman for it and to put in perspective. But he's not, he's the guy that is the inspiration for Batman. And he has this big chip on his shoulder because he made him very PG-13, but he's not. So think Archer. You ever watched Cartoon Network? Yeah. Think Archer, but Batman.
Okay.
So, and the other one I'm really excited for, but I can't talk about. And then I have also have a TV show that I'm also the producer of. And what's it called? We already have, it looks like, potentially two networks. And it's really cool with understanding how, like, producing works and the back end stuff. Like, you know, the difference between selling it to a big network, which they'll have more control over it, rather than selling it to a small market who only does in their individual area. And then you get that property and you get to flip it to different networks. And
is that in Canada or the US?
What's it called? We've already taken it. We've got offers outside of Canada and the US, but we have potential for, it looks like a network in Canada is very interested. And then I talked to a bunch of networks when I was in LA last, when we were talking earlier. And there might be, this is where the opportunity, and this is where the cool thing that I'm learning is there's something called windowing. So essentially, if I was to, let's say, do it in a Canadian network, and that Canadian network only is in Canada. So the projected project that I'm working on is about $4 million for a season, give or take $1 million, depending on how, you know, how much funding you can get throughout. But, you know, you get a network. You find some type of, you know, network will give you 40 to 50% of it. You get another 20 to 30 from different ads that will either buy it on, like, you know, product placement or whatever. Then you get tax credits from let's say Canada. And then you get an angel investor to put the top 10, 15%. And then you have your project. Once you then have it, you do something called windowing where the network only needs it in Canada per se. Then I can take it after 3 months and sell it for a fraction of the price. And I own 25% of this intellectual property. So it's just a multitude. You sell it 10 times and boom.
That's what it kind of, yeah. Byron Allen is really good at that. All right, great. So you're busy. You're busy.
Busy, but busy's good.
Of course. Want to thank our sponsors again. Listen, Tom talked about the boatload of money you could be making this week at mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. Lay down some money. March Madness is here. Let's make some money on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players. Start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? That was the worst. I know that happened to me. Come to MyBookie today. I'd only recommend a service that I actually use, and it's been good to me and my listeners. So, that's right. Go to MyBookie, and they'll match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. Just use the promo code MMA50 to activate offer. Go to MyBookie today, or call them at 1-844-900-BETS. Also, I want to thank our other sponsor, and I want to tell you guys how good Blue Apron is. Blue Apron's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Trust me, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Me and my girl do it all the time. It's nothing better than cooking with your girl. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more than everyone else. So those who spend a lot of money at restaurants or high-end grocery stores, which I used to do that, can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Their featured upcoming meals are salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes and crispy tortilla strips, as well as spicy coconut shrimp with curry with cabbage and rice. So check them out. This week's menu, and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and you'll be able to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/MMA roast. I want to thank Elias for coming over here to this. I was staying at this hotel, but I guess there was a shooting or something, so they relocated me to some kind of an Airbnb, but Elias came, didn't judge, so that was pretty cool. And I am at the Comedy Cave tonight, and tomorrow in Calgary, Monday and Tuesday at the Dime Bar in LA. And then I will be in San Diego at the Comedy Palace this Friday and Saturday. Then I'm going to be in at the Hollywood Improv the 29th of March, and then Myrtle Beach the first week of April at the Carolina Comedy Club. And then I will be in Kansas City in Stanford and Sons April 12th to the 18th, as well as Looney Bin in Oklahoma April 27th to the 29th. So thank you guys very much. That's three podcasts this week. No more complaining to me, guys, about you. I don't get the podcast. Thank you, Elias. Can't wait to watch you fight again. And have a good rest of the week. And bye.